Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 14 of the Good People Bad Intentions podcast. And today I have a special guest. Like always, we have Adrian Roach. He has a really interesting story that in actually the 12th episode with John Olhauser, we got a little bit of a sample from. He has a really interesting story where kind of the torch has been passed on to him by other Bermudan boxers, and now his story is that he wants to get into the 2024 Olympics and bring some hardware home. Currently he is at Crandall University, a part of the Crandall boxing team that we've covered a few times now, and he is also going to be competing in Ecuador fairly soon. I'm really excited to have him on as a guest, talk about his story. Hopefully we can extract some tidbits of wisdom, inspiration, and motivation. And without further ado, guys, let's introduce Adrian. Hello, Adrian. How's it going?
Hey, everything's good.
Welcome to Good People, Bad Intentions. I'm really excited to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to listen to either Sean or your coach, John Olhauser's interview?
I listened to a bit of my coach's one, but then I had a class. So I had to go straight to my class.
Student life.
Yeah, I know. It's rough sometimes.
Well, he just mentioned you briefly because I had already saw you on Instagram, and I got a little bit about your kind of your story and everything you've been going, you went through to get to where you are now. I watched the Fight for an Island documentary. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, wow, this is a really moving story that I think should be shared as much as possible. And so I thought, you know, let's have you on. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, How long have you been in Canada now?
In Canada. So I've been in Canada since, I go home for breaks, but my first time coming out here was January of last year.
Okay. And how's your experience been? Like, has it been like kind of a culture shock compared to Bermuda, or?
It's much bigger, but where I'm at right now, like in Moncton, I like it because it's a smaller city. You know, it's a little bit far from like anything like too busy. So it helps me focus a lot, you know, if my training helps me keep me away from any distraction, like things like that. I'm on family and friends, you know, you love them to death, but sometimes they can be a distraction. So I do find being out here is beneficial to my career.
Awesome. And I think one thing that John was talking about that I thought was really moving was, so first of all, he said that you started university, you were doing it online, and you were also working at a restaurant at the time while you were doing classes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, wow, this guy, like he's working, he's going to school, he's trying to make this happen, make this dream come true. And he said something about like how he talked with your family about, you know, boxing and everything like that. And it seems like your family, everybody agreed that this is the right move for you. So you have the full support of your family moving down here and pursuing your dream.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, my parents have done their best in everything, in every aspect of them, raising me, you know, morals, things like that. And when they heard that I could continue my education as well as continue my boxing career, they were like, it's a no-brainer, you know, so I got to appreciate my parents, and like, you know, they put a lot forward and sacrificed a lot for me to get to the position that I am now.
And can you talk about how long you've been boxing and kind of like the early stages of, because how popular is boxing in Bermuda? Is there a lot of boxing gyms?
It's like a good amount, like for the size of Bermuda, it's a good amount of gyms. It's about two main boxing gyms. And there's also a few gyms that do like boxing as well as kickboxing, Muay Thai, things like that. But yeah, I've been boxing in April, it'll be 5 years. Boxing in Bermuda, it's fairly popular. Like, we had some really talented boxers come out of Bermuda. Boxers such as Clarence Hill, he won bronze in the 76 Olympics. Troy Darrow, he was number 5 middleweight at one point in the world. We've had Nicky Bascom. He's still a current fighter. You know, he's really good. You know, he goes up to Mayweather's camp sometimes up in Las Vegas. And he trains with Mayweather's uncle. We have Teresa Parazzi. I believe she was in like the top 3, top 5 of women's boxing. You know, and then we have the new guys coming through like Andre Lamb, Mike Tyler, guys that are just going pro. And, you know, those guys are like, you know, they're making their way. So, yeah, it's pretty popular. Whenever there's a boxing event in Bermuda, it's packed up.
And like, he was talking about, and I know he kind of gave some of the story, so it's kind of me making sure everything that was said was 100%. He was saying something along the lines of, you were passed the torch as kind of the hope of Bermuda to get some hardware, to get like some medals in the Olympics. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that part of the story? Like, what boxers are maybe involved in that? Like, and what kind of transpired?
Well, yeah, so there was 2 boxers ahead of me, Andre Lamb and Tyler Christopher. So they're going pro now, you know, they were on the Olympic run and, you know, they were doing pretty well. And then once COVID hit, it was just, well, what's the point of waiting around, right? So they went pro. And so when the Olympics got canceled the first time, they just said they'll go pro. And then they were kind of just in a gray zone, the like national association. So they were like, well, we didn't really know like what's going on. And then when they said that the Olympics was going to be rescheduled and that they were holding a second qualifier event for it, they were like, okay, like we know exactly who we're going to send. So they were like, Adrian, you know, this is basically your time. And as soon as I heard the news, I actually heard it while I was sparring some of the pros from the other gym. And I was like, I was stoked. Like, you know, I went back to my room and I was just excited because, you know, it was my time, you know, so I had to work really hard for it. And yeah, unfortunately it didn't transpire the way because the qualifiers got canceled. But 2024, we have our eyes on that for sure.
And what is the general atmosphere like? Was everybody in support of you? Do you feel like you still have some rivalries at home, like people that still want your spot? Or do you feel like, you know, when you're sparring with the pros, everybody's, you know, got their own goals and that kind of thing?
I think back at home, it's more of a thing where we help each other out. I feel a lot of support, you know, back home, like even just not even from just boxers, just from people that support me in my career. Like, you know, you're always going to get somebody that messages you. Like, I wouldn't say I go a day without somebody messaging me, just saying like, yo, like, I see you grinding, like, keep it up. You know, and that really inspired me. And as of the boxers, we spar each other every single week. Whenever I'm home, I always hit up the pro coaches. I'm like, yo, like, when you guys sparring, like, I'm coming on, and they thank me for the runs that I give them. You know, when we get into the sparring sessions, like, sometimes it gets heated, and, you know, we get in there, we start exchanging punches and whatnot, and, like, you know, we go hard on each other, but at the end of the day, it's all love. You know, you get out the ring, shake each other's hand, you go watch fights together, things like that.
And speaking about having somebody, like, giving you encouraging words and whatnot, I'm seeing, like, when you're making some posts on Instagram, like, are you doing like 3 sessions a day for boxing? Like 3 workouts?
Yeah, so sometimes. Yeah. So like I'd work in a few days of the week where I'd hit 3 sessions a day. Every other day is just two sessions. But yeah, so, you know, I just like working out with my, almost like my therapy, you know, so like as much as I could do, I'll do it, you know, as long as my body is able to do it and I feel good doing so, then I'll work out as many times as I am any day as I'm possible.
Well, yeah, I'm just imagining it because you know, obviously you're there, like you're studying, you're also at the Crandall Boxing Club, and then you have this dream And it's just something about putting in that work and doing those sessions that I imagine, like, you know, it's for sure getting yourself closer to that goal and making yourself, you know, a better boxer. And
oh yeah, most definitely.
And I've seen there's actually quite a few fights that are circulating on YouTube. I'm just curious, what are some of the fights that are most memorable for you so far in your career?
So it's a few fights memorable to me. One of them would be, I think it's like, it's an old fight on YouTube. It's from 2020. Mm-hmm. That was in January. My friend had passed away that earlier that week that I fought. So I dedicated that fight to him. That was my friend, Kijani Burgess. He passed away that week. So that was a very memorable fight. And then I fought in New York, and one of my friends had passed away the week prior to that fight. That was in November last year. And that was a memorable fight as well. And, you know, that's fighting I think my last fight as well back in home. It was my first fight home in like 2 years. So, you know, that was the first fight home since I think two of my friends had passed. You know, I had dedicated both of that fight to all three of my friends, you know. So that was a good feeling being back home in front of everybody and being able to, like, you know, carry the legacy on, you know.
And by the way, I am sorry for your loss. The losses, it's not just one loss, it's been two. And I seen some posts where you're kind of talking about that, and I thought it was really inspiring, because you talked to them about them as being like angels that are, you know, with you in your journey, and they're keeping you accountable, and there's some, can you talk a little bit about that? Cause that might have some more spiritual significance.
Yeah, for sure. You know, well, cause it's my grandfather, I every day is on my forearm. Okay. So that was the first pass. That was in 2014. So, like, you know, that's always kind of been a big motivator for me. Then it was Kijani after that. So it was like, after that, it was like, dang, like, you know, it's like my grandfather, you know, it wasn't as, I don't think it was, you know, he was that old in age. You know, it was a sudden death, same way. But when Kijani passed away, it was like a young person that, you know, I was in school with every day, and it was like, whoa, like, you know, it really became real to me. And then later that year, in 2020, and my friend Lodge had passed. That's who I have tattooed right here. That was another real surreal one, because that was my age, and you know, you were pretty cool, and like, you know, so it was like, it was really like hitting that, you know, it could be a time at any time. Then when Tino had passed away last November, it was just that really, like, you know, every single one, it seems surreal. That's because they're so young, and so, like, just referring to them as angels watching over me is kind of just like, you know, they're always with me. Like, you know, I carry the thought into every single fight. That's why I fight so hard. That's why I train so hard. You know, so it's always motivating me to push a little bit harder. So, and they just keep that reminder in my head that, you know, you got to make the best of what you have right now, and wake up every day with a purpose, because you never know when the day is coming, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, I really appreciate you sharing that. And I know it's probably not easy to talk about, but I just, it really resonated with me, because I actually had, you know, my Nan pass away when I was just 10. I know it's been quite a while now. Yeah. I'm 24, but I had that same feeling as far as them watching, you know, over us, and, mm-hmm. and keeping us accountable, and us wanting to, you know, honor them. And I think so far you've been doing a hell of a job doing that. You've been doing a really good job. And, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, you're getting a lot of recognition from your country. And then you're also getting a lot of recognition just in Canada in general, because, yeah, we have to understand too, you might be from Bermuda, but you're also, you know, representing Canada and the Canadian university, and you're much part of our history as well. So it's a really interesting thing that you got going on with this dream of 2024. hardware in the Olympics.
Yeah, most definitely.
And I'm just curious, like, when this whole torch has been passed down, is there a lot of pressure? Do you feel a lot of pressure from that? Like a lot of expectation? Because it's been apparently some years since Bermuda has gotten a medal. And yeah, and they're kind of looking at you as their best chance, right?
Yeah. So 76 was our first medal and our only medal until literally just this past Olympics. Mm-hmm. Flora Duffy, big shout out to her. She's a female triathlete. She actually won the gold in women's triathlon this past Olympics.
Oh wow!
So that was like a big inspiration to me. So big shout out to Flora Duffy, but mm-hmm. But yeah, like for me, boxing isn't too much pressure on me, right? Because that's what I do. This is my version of 9 to 5. So it's like I get up every day and this is what I do. So when I get into the ring, like, you know, I might have a serious look on my face, but like I'm having fun at the end of the day. And like I take it very seriously, of course, you know, because you are going in there and you have to worry about your health. You know, it is a dangerous sport. But this is what I do. This is my passion. So nervous or you know, I don't think I get nervous. I'll say it's more so excitement because it is just like wow, like, you know, they're really trusting me to bring this home, and that makes me want to train more. It gets me excited to train more, not so much as like oh man, it's so much expectation. It's like, oh great, they expect so much of me, let's give it to them, you know. And people who don't expect much of me, let's prove them wrong, you know. So it's just a really big motivation to me to be able to carry the banner and put the iron on my back and just try to bring it home for them.
Coach John was talking about and I kind of used it in like a little bit of like a reel or whatnot, but he was talking about how boxing is known as the, and by the way, this was really inspiring, and I just want to have your reaction to it. He was saying how boxing is known as the loneliest sport, but when it comes to, you know, this university boxing team, he's seeing, you know, a lot of things that are showing that it's not lonely, that, you know, you have people and teammates that support you, that are there for you, whether it's boxing or whether it's studies. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, how the team has benefited you as in your own personal career and journey?
Hey, it's definitely being on this team. I've met some guys that I know is going to be lifetime friends, you know, and, you know, you develop bonds so closely when you can step into a ring with a guy in sparring and bang it out with him for however many rounds, and then get out and shake his hand and then go work on a project together right afterwards. Like, you know, you bond a little bit closer. So it's like, a lot of the guys in the team, like I consider them some of my closest friends just because, like, you know, the type of people they are. And when you have aligning passions with somebody else, it kind of makes you click. That does more. So it's like, yeah, only you could fight when that bell rings, you're the only one up in that ring with your opponent. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the preparation and what you do before. So, you know, that's making sure you have a good circle around you, keeping your hair straight, and, you know, keeping you in good spirit, because that's just as important as the fight itself. Because you can't go in there with a clouded hair or else, you know, you don't think straight. And I think having a circle around you really helps with that, a good circle.
And one thing that I was wondering is, you had brought up that going and moving to Canada and now going to Crandall, it's kind of rid you from some distractions, friends or family or whatnot, or some things that can you just talk about Bermuda? Like, was there times when there was things outside of boxing that was distracting about being in Bermuda, or can you speak on that?
Yeah, like, you know, you have your friends home, you have your family home, you know. Yeah, my parents have always been there throughout my whole life, you know. And but, you know, you argue with them sometimes, you know, like it gets bad.
Preach.
And you know, it kind of throws you off. But like, just being away from them, it like sometimes it helps you appreciate them. Being away from people helps you appreciate them even more, because from a distance it's like, wow, like they were they were really there. It kind of makes you cherish the moments that they have with you, even the bad ones. Friends, you know, I love them to death, you know, they're my boys, you know, but sometimes, you know, we would be out and I'm not getting home until like 12:30, 1 o'clock, And, you know, we wouldn't even be partying, we'd just be chilling. But it's just throwing off my schedule, because then I have to be up at 5 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. and getting up and, you know, going for runs and stuff like that. It just doesn't fit the schedule of an athlete. So being away from home definitely helps with that. You know, it does minimize the amount of distractions. And also my mom's cooking is really good. So
yeah.
Making weight on my mom's cooking is a little bit hard sometimes.
Yeah. What's one of your favorite dishes that she makes?
That's a good one.
Probably gonna make you hungry this later.
Yeah, I know. She makes these really good potatoes, like she seasons them up really nice. Huh? And she like puts it with the vegetables and because I'm vegan, right? So she has like these.
Oh, you're vegan? Okay.
Yeah, I'm plant based. Uh-huh. So she has like this veggie meat that she puts with, and it's so good. So yeah, like stuff like that. But yeah, so being out here, you know, kind of keeps me a little bit disciplined. But she's been getting really good with doing meal preps and stuff like that for me when I'm in camp.
Okay.
She's been getting really good with that. So yeah.
And have you been enjoying any of the food places around here? Like, I know like food might not seem like a boxing thing, but I mean, we all got to eat, and I'm interested culturally, like, cause there's probably like a spice difference. I had a few friends from Bermuda, and like, it's always been an interesting conversation talking about food.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite joints to go to after like fights, stuff like that is, St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
They have these cauliflower fried things. They're so good after a fight, and you ain't gotta worry about no diet. Them fries and the fried cauliflower is so good. But yeah, I like there. I like Peter Pitt.
That's a staple.
We've been Boston Pizza after a fight. It's a few good places. Sure.
It's a shame we can't eat whatever we want when, you know, we want to get the gold or, you know, get high results. Because I'm a byproduct of just eating, you know, whatever I want sometimes. It can haunt you. It's moderation. Yeah.
But it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like when you're working towards a goal, and when it's like when I see it and I can envision myself, like, and the way my confidence is built, it's like I know how hard I work. So going to a competition and just thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to get the experience. Like, no, like I go there every single time into a fight thinking like with no other thought other than I'm winning. Like, I never go into a fight with any slight thought of losing. So like, you know, it's like when you have to sacrifice a few things, like it's like, yeah, it's whatever, because like that feeling of winning is like nothing else in this world. I guarantee that nothing else compares to having your hand raised at the end of a fight.
And speaking of winning, congratulations in New York. Can you talk a little bit about your experience going down there and, you know, what it was like? And because New York, as far as venues, I know it wasn't Madison Square Garden, and I know you were like in the state, but New York's a big state for boxing. So what was that like?
That was pretty cool. When I went to New York with the team, it was to West Point, like with the fighting the army. Mm-hmm. So like it was cool. Like they were chanting, like, you know, because you're in their backyard, right? So like have all the military buddies there, and they're like they're chanting, and like, you know, they got different cool chants. So, like, sometimes I'm cheering to the chants too, like, you know. So that was a good fight, you know, and it's good energy when we guys go on trips together. You know, it's like the whole team were pretty cool if you took charter. So, like, you know, you get to go on trips with all your mates and do what you love at the same time. So it's just like, it's that much better.
Yeah, you got to get maybe from the football team, you get like some cheerleaders come with you and do some chants, chargers, you know?
Yeah, that was another thing. We got to go to a football game. The day after a fight, and that was like Division I football. So I was like, "Yeah, this is wicked." They had helicopters flying over, and
because
like,
I noticed every time you, they got a football, you got a football shirt on, right? Is that Brady on the Tom Brady shirt? So what was it like seeing that? Was that your first like American football game that you saw?
Yeah, that was the first one live that I saw. I was like, "Whoa, like that's wicked." And yeah, it was like a huge stadium. And yeah, it was cool. It's a good experience.
And like helicopters going over there and like crazy.
Yeah, so when they ran up the tunnel, like two helicopters flew over and they shot a bunch of cannons off. I was like, whoa, like it was such a cool experience. And I had my camera and like I didn't see the helicopters until my boy pointed it out. And like you can see my reaction, like my it in real time reaction. So I was like, and I look up, at the helicopters, and I'm like gasping. Yeah, it was wicked.
Yeah, I'm just thinking with the CFL, if we had that happen in here, then probably like 1/8 of the Air Force would be gone. You know what I mean? You got so many planes in the States, I guess they could do it more. But, you know, that's my dad's a huge U2 fan, like music. And like that's the signature. They get like jets or they get helicopters after after a song or something like that. And like the noise and everything like that, I don't think anything compares to something going overhead like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I always try to this whole podcast, but obviously your story and everything like that. And then obviously there's people that are listening from different walks of life. But one thing that we kind of all share in common is that the last 2 years, without getting too much into it, have been maybe not the years that we expected. You talk a little bit about maybe the fact that because you've been boxing for 5 years, and I imagine like when you had some plans in your head, some ideas about what these 2 years were going to be, how did you deal with maybe some of the restrictions and still staying motivated as an athlete and still staying towards your goal?
Like that's exactly what I would touch on. The motivation, these last 2 years have taught me that like you have to find motivation within yourself. Like, cause like if you're only motivated, man, you have a goal in mind, like a fight or something like that, then like, you know, it's your career won't go that far because, you know, every day I wake up for a new reason, you know, sometimes to go hard. And like, even days that you don't feel like going hard, like those are the days you really want to push because like it drills into your mind that like, you know, you work no matter what. And that's really what separates good fighters from the best, like, you know, work ethic, you know, because you can be talented all you want, but if you don't work hard, then it means nothing. So these last 2 years was really about just drilling in that work ethic and making sure that you're working even if it's no good. Because, you know, through COVID, it was no fights happening, but, you know, I was in the gym every single day, you know, just keeping it going. Me and my coach, you know, sometimes we would just be there by ourselves. Sometimes I'll be in the gym by myself. And you just got to find that inner motivation, you know. Yeah, you're not doing anything at 1 o'clock. You're still up. Why not go for a run? You know, it's things like that, like, and that's what separate me in the long run, you know. So it all pays off, and that's what I knew. Like while doing it, yeah, there's no fights going on. Some people weren't even in the gym, you know. Some fighters in there, they weren't in the gym during a mom COVID, and they were like, "Well, you know, while you're training, like you have a fight coming up," just because I knew it would pay off. And when those fights came back, I was in shape and I was ready to go.
Yeah, I think it's Joe Budden that says something like, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Yeah. Yeah. I love that saying about him, that he's saying songs. I think what you touched on was kind of what I've been kind of experiencing too, about the whole finding your own motivation. And then you also touched on the fact that, you know, there are people watching you, and those things can also give you, you know, some positivity and motivation. And I kept thinking while you were bringing up about, you know, why are you training for a fight or whatever, I always thought like in school, as you're probably aware of now, like storm days are a thing in Canada, like with the whole snow or whatever. And I remember like going through high school, like there'd be this big project or this big test, and then there'd be like a forecasted like snowstorm or something like that. And everybody's like, psh, like, I'm not going to do any of that. Like I got till next week to do it. And that's cool when it's canceled, but when it's not, I mean, it's your butt on the line. And I guess, I guess some people, like, I'm not pointing names or anything like that, but I have heard that some people, like, it's hard to get motivated for a boxing fight because they're like, well, it's been canceled twice. It's probably going to get canceled the third time, you know, this or that. But yeah, what you're saying about being ready, you know, whether there's a fight or not, I mean, I think it's good.
Yeah. And like I said, boxing is my therapy, you know, boxing is my way to stay level-headed and not let life's situations or hardships get to me. You know, I tattooed right underneath my grandfather, it says my reason. And just that, my reason, says that's my reason to, like, you know, keep on going every single day. I ain't got a fight. They say fights aren't happening for the next 10 years. I have a reason to be in the gym every single day. Just because, like, you know, I gotta keep my hair level, you know, keep me on, you know, level ground, so I don't act out. And you know, that's what boxing did for me. Boxing saved me in that regard, where it helped me create a venting system to where I don't have to act out. You know, I could go to the gym and I could put my energy into something positive, and you know, inspire youth that was just like me when I was coming up, you know, fighting a lot, things like that. So if I could do that and put my energy into something positive, that's a reason enough for me to be in the gym every day and train, you know.
Have you had any opportunity, like, you've been into the boxing for 5 years, and I imagine when you started out, there probably was a big, like, first of all, when you started boxing, did you know that this was something that you wanted to pursue to this point, or did it take a while for you to really get in love with it?
Yeah, it definitely took a while, because at first boxing was just a thing where it's just like, oh, I'm going to start, you know, I'll learn how to fight better. Because like my father originally took me there because I got suspended from school for fighting. Okay. And he was like, oh yeah, you need to go to the boxing gym to learn discipline. So in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, I'll go to the boxing gym to learn discipline, but really I'm just good so I can learn how to fight better. Right. So I went there. And, you know, I'm there, and then me and my coach are like, it's crazy. We're like the younger and older version of each other. Like, so it's like we click just like that. And since then, we've been like this. So, you know, I consider like my coach, I call him my second father, you know, so it was cool. So like we just got to working and you saw the progress, and then you got to do your first sparring session, you know, and it's like you start seeing yourself improving and improving and improving. And then all of a sudden you have your first fight, and I was like, oh man, like I want to go all the way with this, you know? So, and every day, I kid you not, it becomes more real and real to me every single day that like I'm a boxer and this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Right. And it's like every single day, it kind of, I don't know how to explain it. It excites me, you know, cause it's like, well, like, I get to do what I love every day. You know, and this is what I'm going to be doing. So, yeah, it's like, it never occurred to me, like, when I first started that this is what I was going to be doing. And every single day I wake up, it's, like, reoccurring. And it's like, oh, wow, like, this is what I really do, you know?
Yeah, and it's good that you kind of kept your fights now more in the ring. Yeah. 'Cause I'm sure that, yeah. And I'm glad that you shared, you know, that's kind of, apparently this is a very common thing, like with boxers, like, you just think about it. Not most people just walk in, I want to start fighting people. They had like their own things that they had to deal with. Like for me, I got into, it wasn't, boxing at first, it was karate. It was 'cause I was getting bullied. And I think that's another thing. A lot of people, they get into something like boxing, they get bullied. Or, you know, they have like fights with people at school, and that's kind of how it starts. Yeah. It could be a vicious place, school.
I'm telling you. Yeah, definitely. But boxing and sports in general does really create a path for the troubled child, or like, you know, somebody with with problems happening at school, like you say, you maybe have been getting bullied. So it really creates and opens a door for those type of children to have a source and something to do, and like, you know, something to be happy about. And that's why I advocate for boxing so much. When people say, oh, it's such a violent sport, I'm like, nah, like, you don't understand how many lives boxing or does any sport in general has saved just because of, like, you know, how beneficial it is to one's mental health.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I just had not too long ago, I had Brandon Brewer on nice, from New Brunswick. And he was talking about how he believes boxing is something for all ages. If you're in a senior's home, if you can get somebody to hold pads, you know, and get some of that tension, some of that stress from everyday life. And you know, it's a really good workout and it releases endorphins. So, I mean, yeah, like, you know, we're talking about, you know, some of the highest level of boxing, you know, the pinnacle of the sport, the Olympics, you know, and then there's the pros, obviously, but you don't have anybody listening that wants to get into boxing. I mean, you don't have to be to that level. You just, the benefit is just doing, you know, the activity.
Yeah, it's all ages.
And I was wondering, like, was there some people that you grew up around that maybe saw you boxing that got into it as well, or some family members, or because I'm sure you're a shining star and like everybody's like, whoa, like I kind of want something like that. I want to do that now.
well, the closest person to me, my father, he used to watch boxing back in the day, you know, before I was born and whatnot. And since I started boxing, he hasn't joined boxing again, but he started watching it a lot more. So, like, he keeps up with all of that. But there's been a few kids, you know, in the gym that, like, I make sure, even if, like, they're not there just for me, I make sure that they know, like, you know, that, like, I want them to stick around. And, like, there's kids that, you know, they say they look up to me, they message me, or they will see me in the gym, and, you know, they come around. And it's always a good feeling when you have, like, a little tot coming up to you, and they'll say, you're like, yeah, I see you in the gym, like, I look up to you. And I'm like, I'm 19, right? So I'm just like, whoa, like, I'm not even 20 yet, right? And, you know, you got people looking up to you. So it's like, that just shows you how beautiful the sport is. So it's things like that. And my gym is full of young kids, right? So every time I'm in there and I see a young kid, and if he's doing something wrong, I'm going to go there and I'll stop my workout, because I know I have a key to the gym. I could be there all night, all day if I wanted to. And so I'll stop my workout just to make sure that guy, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing wrong, how he could do it better, and knows that somebody's caring for him, like somebody in the gym cares for him. That way, like, you know, it'll always be a safe haven for him. It's no negative energy in the gym, you know?
And that's awesome that you do that, because I'm sure down the line, you're going to be, for a lot of these kids, what your heroes are for you now. So that's hopefully awesome that you do that.
Yeah.
And I was going to say about your father, I mean, I've always heard that your father is your first fan. Your father, your mother, your parents. Your parents are your first fan. So I imagine your father, he's getting into boxing, because when you're on the TV, he wants to not make a fool of himself. He wants to know, you know, the sport. And like, oh, yeah, you know, that inside left hook, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yeah.
My mom and my dad, they're like my number one fans. Like, my mama, she has, like, posters made up. For any fight she can get to, she'll have, like, a poster made or, like, a T-shirt made.
Oh,
my pops, that's... like, at my last fight back at home, like, I won. You know, I hopped up on the ropes, and my dad was, like, right there before my corner, man. And, you know, I hopped up the ring, gave him a hug. You know, it's like, they're, like, right there front and center. You know? Uh-huh. So I love them for that. They support me in every way.
So moving on to something that's fairly close, can we talk a little bit about Ecuador? Because I know that's going to be a big tournament for you.
Definitely.
How many, is there going to be a lot of different competitors from what's the particular region that's fighting in Ecuador?
So it'll be all of North America, all of Central America, South America, and all of the Caribbean. So all of those countries will be there. So, like, and every single person that goes is number one in the country. So you're there with the best of the best. And, you know, as you may know, like countries like Cuba and Puerto Rico and stuff like that, they're amateurs, like they're like top level, right? So it's like I get to mix it up with some of the best guys in the world. And that's like that, some people that would intimidate me, that's like, let's go, like, you know, let's make a name for ourselves. Cause like looking at the, I actually have the email up on my computer now, and looking at the venue, it was 9,000 people. So that's, and they're at full capacity. So that's 9,000 people that could, you know, see you and your talents. So it's like, let's have it. You know, you wanna compete and you wanna do well and show the world that, you know, Bermuda's on the map.
And it'd be a wonderful second interview to just talk about kind of your experience, because I've always been interested, and I say this again. I mean, we now live in a day and an age in boxing where you can't just say, oh, fight like a Cuban, fight like a Mexican, because everybody is learning all these international skills and mixing them up. And but it seems like when the amateurs from Cuba, the footwork is impeccable. Every country has a Cuban coach. I learned that not too long ago. Like Canada has a Cuban coach, and it's like it's like a supplementary coach to the head coach that teaches all the interesting Cuban drills. And have you had any opportunities fighting like Russians or fighting Cubans?
I haven't fought any like Cubans or Russians, but like I've had like a lot of coaching from guys who've either done it themselves, like fought all those countries, or the coach fighters that have fought those fighters. So like the national coach of Bermuda, Darren Woolridge, I think that's his first name. Everybody calls him Goofy. I'm not quite sure if his
mom
is Goofy. I'm not sure if it's real his first name, but Mr. Woolridge, I'll call him. His mixed it up with some of the best, you know. So back in his day when he fought, he was, I think, Pan Am Games gold medalist. Like his done it. So he and mom, when he was fighting, he fought all those guys. So like, you know, getting tips and everything like that from guys like that. Troy Darrow, he was number 5 middleweight in the world in like one of the most golden eras of boxing. So like getting tips from them guys, and it's just like, you know, on even sparring with Andre and the people like that who have been to those competitions and mix it up with those guys, it's good because you get all that experience, you soak it all up, and then you apply it. And, you know, I feel like I'm a very good listener, and I always take advice from anybody. It could literally be somebody who started boxing after me. If they see something, I'll take the advice and, you know, I would apply it and see how it works with me. Everybody has something to offer, right? So things like that, like it helps you prepare for those type of competitions with those guys, and the experience of actually getting in there and fighting them will only be better.
I think that's very humble of you to, because a lot of guys they get in their head a little bit and they say to themselves, well, I'm better than that, I don't have to listen to it. But you know, right. We all, like, I think one thing that's kind of similar, whatever, is, you know, how people say like a kid will always tell you the truth. Well, sometimes somebody that just starts out with boxing, I mean, they'll see something and they'll say, well, that looks kind of weird, or, you know, why are you doing that? And they might question you, and to the point that you realize, well, there wasn't really a good reason for me doing that in the first place. Right. So, another thing I've learned, like one of the coaches or assistant coaches at the gym that I train at, Ray Burns, he has a background with basketball, and then he did some coaching for university girls basketball, and he's been involved with the sport. And then now he's doing associate assistant coaching, and I'm seeing that he's got a knack for a lot of specific details about repetition. And I just think of myself, well, you know, when you're shooting hoops, I mean, you know, the reps, you know, relate to points, and you want to have the right technique and form for shooting. So, what you're saying about, you know, somebody who's just new to boxing, I mean, we all have experience and knowledge that we carry with ourselves. So,
exactly.
Somebody that just started, I mean,
everywhere.
Yeah. And maybe you got a really good slugger in baseball that teaches you to, you know, throw a hook or something. I mean,
yeah, twisty body, you know.
Yeah.
It was definitely. And that comes with any sport too. You know, you have to be humble in everything, like, you know, because boxing is a sport. If you let your hair blow up, then my favorite example of that is a fighter like Adrian Broner, talented fighter, like really talented, and he just let everything get to his head, right? And he didn't. He lost his focus. He could have been the next big pay-per-view star, next big Mayweather. He does that, everything got to his head, and then look where his career went, you know? And still a very talented fighter, it's just that he couldn't get serious, and he let everything, like, the worldly things and temptations get to him, so, you know, like, it led him down the wrong path. So being humble and staying humble is key in a sport like this, where, you know, it's a lot of recognition, a lot of accolades, money that could come with it, so you gotta stay humble to it.
Adrian Broner, I really like the guy. Yeah. Unfortunately, like, I'm a huge Maidana fan, so when he fought Maidana, I was like, oh no. But you're totally right. He is a very skilled guy, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he trying to be pitched as like the next Mayweather? And it kind of,
yeah,
like everybody's trying to be the next Mayweather under his tutelage and whatnot. And I think now, like, I thought Devin Haney was under his tutelage, but I think Mayweather favors Gervonta more.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Because Gervonta
is, like, promoted by him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Devin Haney, I think he went over to Eddie Hearn. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. talking about the pros, like, is there any pros from right now or maybe in the past that you look up to as well? Like, I know, obviously, You spoke on some boxers from Bermuda that currently still fight. Like, do you look up to, what kind of pros do you look up to?
Different pros, like, you know, you always have your old time favorite pros, I actually, one that not a lot of people know him, Terry Norris.
Okay.
He's a really good pro. Like, he was back in the day, like, he was really good. You know, like, your Sugar Ray Leonard's, people like that. And then, of course, you know, I'm always going to look up to my Bermudian, you know, counterparts, mm-hmm. like Troy Darrow and Clarence Hill. You know, they did the thing in the press. You know, they all fought at, like, Madison Square Garden and stuff like that. So it's like, that's like, whoa, like, that's a big dream to me. But, my, like, right now, my favorite fighter is, like, Errol Spence. He's a dog. Like, I like his style.
Yeah,
he walks guys down, you know.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, doesn't he have a fight that's been announced that,
yeah, against Ugas?
Yes, he's fighting Ugas.
Yeah.
Yes.
A good fight.
Cuz we all want Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence. Yeah. and that's been like the fight that's really been hard to make. Just talking about the sport, like, who do you favor in the Ugas Spence fight?
Hey, I got Spence. I don't think he's gonna stop Ugas, but I think he's gonna dominate. Like, I'll say, like, a good, like, Ugas might win like about 3 rounds. That's like my prediction. Ugas will win about three, maybe 4 rounds, but Errol Spence is just gonna walk him down and keep the pressure on him, and, like, eventually just, like, whittle down at that body, because Ugas is really good at keeping that range and, like, sticking the jab and kind of like mixing it up at times. But if he tries to mix it up with Spence, who's a big puncher, I don't think it's gonna go his way. And don't get me wrong, Ugas is no walkover fighter. That guy is good. Like, you know, he gave Sean Porter a really tough fight. He's given a lot of guys tough fights. But I just think Errol Spence is just, like, a step above, you know, in skill-wise. And styles make fights, right? And I just think Errol Spence's style isn't the best for Ugas.
Yeah, and I think there's been some talk about, because I know, I think it's Crawford that's under PBC.
Oh, yeah, Crawford, he's a free agent now.
Oh, he's a free agent. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so there's
Alex Banks is on the PVC, and yeah, no, Crawford's a free agent, so everybody's like, "You're like, make the fight happen, make the fight happen,
make the fight happen." yeah, I really look forward to that fight. Is it coming up soon?
They have to sign all the contracts and things like that. But like I think Errol Spence has to get past Ugas to unify. If he gets past Ugas, then I think he even may have a mandatory to fight. And his mandatory is just, in my opinion, his mandatory is gonna be just as hard as a Terrence Crawford fight, which is Jaron Ennis. Jaron Ennis is like a young cat coming up. His good. He switches stances. He hits hard, both hands. He can box. He can brawl. And so I'm like,
hey, so like kind of, would you say like a Terrence Crawford too, or
yeah, you know, like a second like a Terrence Crawford, but with size. Like that's the only difference between Terrence Crawford and Jaron Ennis. Like Terrence Crawford, he's really good, but he's not a natural welterweight. Like he had belts at 130, 135, 140, stuff like that. He actually unified all of 140, but like he's a smaller guy.
Yes.
Jaron Ennis is bigger. Like he's like a bigger version of Crawford. So that's gonna be a hard fight for Errol. And like even though Errol's my favorite fighter, I wouldn't even pick any sides in that fight just because like even the Crawford fighter, I wouldn't pick the sides in that fight just because. It's a fight I want to enjoy as a fan and not have any bias, because that fight could really go either way.
True. Look, we're getting close to time, and I've really enjoyed our conversation so far. I always try to give our guests a chance at the end to kind of plug anything that like their social media, how people can get in contact with you. And obviously we did already discuss that the tournament in Ecuador is kind of the most close thing that you're working towards. And can I get a date again about when the
Ecuador?
That
competition will be from March 22nd to April 2nd.
Okay. Everybody that's listening, you better be supporting our guy here. Is there going to be like streams of the fights and stuff like that?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, that tournament is big. It's a big tournament. So like it'll definitely be streamed.
So you might have to search a little bit at the beginning, but once he's at the top and there's only two people in this division, what division are you gonna fight at?
Welterweight, 147 pounds.
Okay, so there's a reason that he's eyeing up these welterweights.
Yeah.
He's seeing the future. Welterweight's a really interesting division to be in. I mean, obviously,
it's got a lot of fights in welterweight. Because it seems like the most common weight. I think the average build, like for a lot of guys that are boxing, they land around that size, around like 5'9", 5'10", and then they can make the weight on to 147 pounds. Like it's a pretty average size to. Like a lot of guys fighting that weight. So you got a lot of competition for sure.
There's one guy, he's like a commentator, and I know he's lost quite a few of his important fights, but Chris Algieri, I've always been a fan of his ring generalship and just his how he moves.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah, and he's got a cookbook that I had bought a while back. Like he's also really into cooking, so...
Yeah,
I had to check it out. I think it's called The Warrior. Let me double check this. I don't want to because I actually tagged him in a post one time and he tagged it back and I was like, oh cool. Thanks. So he listens to his fans. Fighter's Kitchen.
Fighter's Kitchen.
Yeah, it's not a book that like if you're a beginner cook, it might be. It's kind of hard for me. But yeah. if you have some knowledge behind them, it's like a nutrition book. It'll give you like a nutrition plan. Plus, there's just like a bunch of different meals that he does.
Check it out. I actually want to take a second degree in culinary. Like I like cooking. Cooking's fun for me. Yeah. Hey. That's I'm planning on taking up a second major.
Let's go. What's your? That's actually a really good thing that I should have covered. Is what are you studying at Crandall?
Kinesiology. So like you study the human body, physiotherapists, personal trainers, things like that. Like, so I want to get into that field.
One of my favorite MMA fighters has a degree in kinesiology, George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre. Nice. And I think the study of movement does pay dividends. I mean, you might not be like the trainer for yourself. Like, you might want to have somebody that like to do all the things that you're learning, but certainly like you're able to help others and stay within your, you know, kind of the category, the field that you're in with boxing and stuff. So that's awesome that you're taking that. So I see, and I never commented on this either. So we'll do that before we end. The documentary Fighting for an Island, the video, that was posted, the production quality was like through the roof,
It's crazy, isn't it?
Like it was a movie.
Yeah. Like, and there's actually a documentary out, you know, like a full documentary. If you go a little bit further on my page,
okay,
it's actually plugged into my bio. It's called Nothing for Nothing. It's on the actual Olympic channel. So it's like it's a 50-minute documentary. And that Fighting for Island documentary was a spin-off of that one. So without saying too much.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, that documentary is a full one. I'm actually like towards the end of it where they tell my story.
Okay.
So it's on three boxes, me, Andre, and Tyler. And then I'm so that one is somewhere to come down the line.
Okay.
Like, that's what I can say.
Yeah. But this shorter video that I had watched, how many people were involved with that? Because I'm telling you, it's like movie quality. Like,
yeah, so Tom Day, that's the guy that really like puts all this together. He's been like a real big supporter of this dream, and he has a team that he brings down, like, you know, Hamish and everybody else that comes on. It's like there's actually two more Toms that help with the filming,
Tom,
and everything like that. And it's there's Jake, you know, so it's like, those guys, they came on and they filmed the story, and he has a team back out in England, and they put it all together. So they just come, they film everything, you know, they get me shoot a few things, like the running scenes, all of that. And like, it's when they're finished, like, man, like it makes me like so motivated. Like when I, cause I don't see the film until it comes out. Right. I'm just there for all the filming. So when he dropped me that video, I was just like, wow, like it took me back. Like, you know, I was speechless, and it's just like, it doesn't mean want to go harder. Like, so it's like Tom, he's a master at what he does. Like, and I really appreciate the guy. Like, I always gotta shout him out.
Yeah, like I'm telling you, like, better than Showtime behind the scenes. Like, there was I think the best part about it, and I've had people like Matt Johnson on here that does like motivational videos with his brother CJ, but like the main thing that I think is really important when you're doing these types of videos is to have a story as a big part of it. Like, just tell a story, not just have and that to me, and I look forward to watching the full story that you have on the Olympic channel. But like it tells a story, and there's like even a part in it, of it. I think were you talking with your mother on the phone?
Yeah.
And it's just a very emotional, you know, part. And I was like, this is so beautiful. And they're capturing it. And you can see, you know, even though she's not there in person, that you know, she's there with you. And it was really beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, it's like, and that's the key, like what Tom does. Like he really captures moments like in the raw form. And like, you know, that's really what makes the best filming, you know. And yeah, like all the footage he catches, he just puts it all together and he creates masterpieces. So everything he does, like, I just trust him. Like he's coming to Ecuador to film some things like that.
Okay.
And so it's like, yeah, so like I just, yeah, whenever he takes along, I'm like, oh yeah, I know I'm gonna get some good footage, I'm gonna get some good pictures, stuff like that, you know.
Well, tell him, I mean, you know, next Cannes Film Festival, no joke. You get some stuff there, you know what I mean? Sports documentary, get it out there. Yeah. Netflix, Amazon Prime, you know what I mean? Because I'm sold. I'm sold. So, yeah. But hey, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your story. There were some parts. It was obviously not the easiest thing to share, but I think everybody that listened to it has been able to take something with them. You know, we all are going to be watching your journey, your career. We're all in support and looking forward to seeing you bring some hardware from just this tournament coming up. And then I'm also looking forward to you just getting some of the experience that's going to shape you for 2024.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on. I know it's pretty late, but yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me. You know, it's a good experience, you know, and I appreciate everybody that, you know, always, you know, like reaches out and like tries to get my story out there. It's a big help, and it all pays off in the end, because you never know who might see everything, you know?
You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it. Take care. Stay safe as always.
Thank you. Likewise.
Peace out. Peace out.
All right, bro.
And that's it, folks. I hope you had a good time listening to this episode. I certainly did. Adrian's a really stand-up guy. One takeaway that I heard him say was when he was saying he'd take advice from anybody, no matter if they're a beginner boxer or not. How many boxers really say that? He's a really humble guy. And one thing I also appreciate about him is how dedicated he is. I mean, doing three exercises or practices a day is not an easy feat, especially you know, on top of being a full-time student. He's taking kinesiology. He said that he was considering maybe a second major into the culinary arts. So obviously, and we talked about food, and I kind of got hungry talking about it. But honestly, like I said to him at the end, I really hope that everybody enjoyed hearing his story and that they continue to follow through. This isn't just a story for him in Bermuda, but it's also a story for, you know, fellow Canadians. You know, we have an international student who's, you know, interacting with other Canadian boxers, you know, training with a Canadian coach. So it's kind of also a story for everybody. You know, so I really look forward to hearing the results from this upcoming tournament. Love to hear, get him back on the show, kind of talk about the different levels of competition, the different competitors and nations that compete. I never even realized that, yeah, Cuba, Mexico, United States. It's going to be a really stacked tournament. But let's see how he does. So without further ado, guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, I really recommend that you subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or your preferred platform if you're listening or watching. And the reason for doing that is so that when a new episode comes out, you won't miss it. You'll get an alert. And as always, guys, stay safe. Have a good rest of your day, whatever time you're listening to it. And I appreciate you as always. Appreciate the support, guys. Just want to add a little final note by saying, you know, the support in the last few episodes has been amazing. I never thought that, you know, me doing this show would give me as much purpose and happiness, but I've been really enjoying doing this, and I hope you guys have been enjoying it too. I get a lot of messages from people encouraging me, so I will continue. And yeah, guys, take care.